Well, it's that time of year again, the most wonderful time of year. Actually, with all the stresses that come with Christmas and the Christmas season and this time leading up to Christmas, it remains one of my favorite times of year because it's the one time in the year that I get to watch one of my most favorite movies in all the world. It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I know that's kind of cheesy, but what can I say? I like It's a Wonderful Life. I like Jimmy Stewart, okay? Because there's not many people left in Hollywood that are like Jimmy Stewart. There's not many people anywhere that are like Jimmy Stewart, a man who left a career to go fight in World War II. Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. The movie It's a Wonderful Life celebrates the importance of an ordinary man, George Bailey. His whole life comes to a point where everything is being taken from him, and there's a financial catastrophe coming on him because of mean old Mr. Potter. And he despairs of his life, and he's about to commit suicide when all of a sudden there is a divine interruption in his life. He is interrupted in his quest to commit suicide, and he is interrupted by his guardian angel named Clarence. Clarence then proceeds to show George Bailey what an impact George has had on the people of that community that he lived in. So that in the end, George Bailey doesn't commit suicide. And then the movie ends, of course, with all the townspeople surrounding George in gratefulness. And because of the many, many ways that George had blessed them, they then bless George and give him all kinds of loot so that he can get out of his debt. It's a Wonderful Life. Like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, we experience divine interruptions in our life. Now, we don't necessarily have a Clarence the angel that comes into our life. But in some way or another, we all experience these times when God intervenes in our life. So what about these divine interruptions? I mean, what about them? One thing about divine interruptions is this, and that is they can either appear as blessings in our lives or curses. One thing that is that when it comes to these divine interruptions, whether we see them as good or bad, blessing or curse, they all are ways in which God demonstrates His purpose, His love, and His care. These pivotal times in our lives when God shows up and interrupts and changes our lives forever never happen in the same way. Divine interruptions in our lives can't fit any specific mold. They come in all kinds of different flavors. A divine interruption might be something like, you find out that you got a new job, and that requires a geographical move. You have a divine interruption in your life. You find out that you're pregnant, and you didn't even know it, and it's been that way for 3 months. That's a divine interruption. I was one of those divine interruptions in my family. You find out that we got into our top school, early decision, a divine interruption. We find out that we have a brother or sister that we never knew about that comes into our lives when we're an adult. That's a divine interruption, you see. One thing about these divine interruptions is that they break the predictability of our lives, don't they? Life can become so predictable. We get up in the morning and we go to work. We put a hard day's work in. We come home. We do our chores. We get something to eat. We get some rest. We get up in the morning, go back to work. Life sometimes becomes this monotony until God intervenes with a divine interruption and turns our world upside down and gives us a fresh assignment. And our world changed in a matter of seconds. Because in the end, you see, God is not tame. God is not predictable. We can't put God in a little box and keep God there. understand God is a wild God. I kind of think that's exciting myself. This morning we're starting a new message series here at New Season. A new message series called Pardon the Interruption, Life Lessons from the Characters of the Christmas Story. You know, the Christmas story is really one story of divine interruption. We're going to look at how God divinely interrupted the shepherds and Mary and Zechariah, and how God divinely interrupted the whole world in Jesus Christ and changed the world forever. We're not just going to look at the scripture and see how that is, but we're going to take that, we're going to see what was it that was common to those divine interruptions that we can then apply to our lives when God intervenes in our lives to interrupt us. So with that said, will you pray with me this morning? Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning to talk about one of your servants, Zechariah, and how you interrupted his life and changed his life and that of his faithful wife, Elizabeth, forever. We pray that your word would speak to us this morning. Father, my words are just babble. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, turn the babble into something that you would have us to hear, something that would touch our hearts, touch our minds, and give us something to think about. We pray this in Jesus' sweet and precious name. Amen. So the first character of this Christmas story that we want to look at is one of those lesser known characters in the Christmas story. He's one of those characters who he has a hard name to pronounce and an even harder name to spell. His name is Zechariah. You heard his story this morning in the scripture that was read. But to remind you, this Zechariah was a priest in the temple. You have to remember, the temple in the time Jesus was born was the mega church of Jerusalem. It was the crystal cathedral of churches in Jerusalem. It was the place to go and worship God. It was the place to be saved. This guy Zechariah was a servant there in that temple. And he had a wife named Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Steve, did you get that down? That's on the sheet. It's Elizabeth. That's the fill-in. He doesn't have a pencil. See, he thought he was going to get away last week with that comment about my beard. You see, I shaved my beard. So. I won't tell you what he said. He had a wife named Elizabeth. However, they didn't have any children. They weren't able to conceive. And now Zechariah and Elizabeth, because they were older, were unable to have children. The story goes that one day Zechariah was doing what priests did in the temple, that it had fallen to him to go into the temple and to burn some incense at the altar. Incense were pleasing to God in the Jewish belief. When he's in there burning the incense, when all of a sudden the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah. After seeing Zechariah fall on the floor of the temple with fear, the angel tells old Zechariah, "Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. And your wife Elizabeth is going to have a child. And you're to name him John. And this John," the angel continued, "Angel Gabriel, will be great. And he's going to prepare the way for someone that's going to come after him. Someone that was going to be born just a little bit later. Someone that was carried in the womb of Elizabeth's cousin Mary. And his name was Jesus. But the John that's going to be born to Zechariah and to Elizabeth is the John that we know in the Bible as John the Baptist. John the Baptist who baptized Jesus, who prepared a way in the wilderness." Now, Zechariah, like many of us would have done, questions that. But we're too old. We've tried all these years. I and Elizabeth are too old to have children now. Well, the angel Gabriel responds that Zechariah really should just believe him. Because after all, Gabriel had just come from the very presence of God. And because Zechariah didn't believe him, for a good measure, the angel is going to make him mute. Well, sure enough, sometime later, Elizabeth becomes pregnant and gives birth. Many people thought that after Elizabeth had given birth with this miracle child, that they were going to name the child after the dad. That he was going to be Zach Jr., or just known as Jr., if he could drive a race car really fast. But Elizabeth and John both agreed that he would be named John, just as the angel had instructed. At that time, Zechariah got his speech back. He began to praise God, and he began to prophesy about Jesus that was going to come. I think there's a lot of stuff in that story of Zechariah. There's a lot of truth that's packed in there that we could apply to our lives. But there's one nugget that I think is especially important that we learn from this divine interruption of God in the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And that is that God is in control. God is in control. And what a lesson that is for Zechariah and for all of us too, that God is in control. Zechariah, even after the angel spoke to him, still wanted to be in control. Said to the angel, "Mr. Angel Gabriel, how in the world can it be that my wife Elizabeth, in her old age, and I have a child?" You see, Zechariah didn't want to give up control. When the angel Gabriel responded back to Zechariah, I think what the angel Gabriel was really saying to him was, "Look, Zechariah, if you and Elizabeth continue to try to be in control, it won't happen. But when God is in control, anything can happen. The impossible can happen. And for good measure, because you questioned it, I'm going to make you mute." Zechariah is not much different from you and I. Too often want to be in control. We want to have our finger on everything. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else in this room of that. I will confess and be the first one to tell you. But you can hear it in the way we pray. Most of us pray and we ask God to bless what we've already decided, don't we? We decide to go a particular direction. Decide to do a certain thing. And then we pray, "Oh God, will you bless what I'm doing?" But see, when you give God control of those things, you start by asking God, "What should I do in the first place?" Not asking Him to come after and bless. You see, it's a control issue. Then there's people that fear selling out totally to Jesus because they have heard that it means they will have to let Him rule in their life. That they won't have control of their life anymore, but instead Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why we call Jesus Lord, because that means He's going to control us. That people are afraid to call Him Lord and to make Him Lord because it means they have to give up some control. We could write a book about the ways that we as human beings are in the end control freaks. But the story of Zechariah and the divine interruption in Zechariah's life says, no, God is in control, that we're not left to our own devices. The divine interruption that Zechariah receives reminds us that God the Father is in charge. It reminds us that when it comes to these divine interruptions in our lives, whatever form they take, whether they're good or whether they're bad, that God can do what He wants, where He wants, and when He wants. That God can show up at any time, at any place, for any reason. And he can change everything. But the fact that God is in control, even during these times of divine interruption, as he was in the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth, should give us some comfort. Should give us some comfort, especially during those times in our lives, those divine interruptions in our lives that are the curses, if you will. Those bad interruptions. The ones that hurt. The ones that cause us to cry. You know, when you find out from the doctor, and the doctor says, cancer. Or when you find out that you've been called to your supervisor's office, and he says, your job is being outsourced, and in 2 weeks, you won't have a job anymore. When you find out your daughter is pregnant in 2015, when you find out your spouse has been unfaithful, it's good to know in those divine interruptions that God is still in control, even though we feel out of control. Even though the situation is tumbling and getting even more and more out of control, he remains in control. Those are some of the lessons I think we can glean from Zechariah and his experience of a divine interruption. But if the story of Zechariah teaches us that God is in control, the question becomes for us, what is it that we need to surrender to God and give him control over? What is it in your life that you need in his hands? How has your life been interrupted and caused you heartache and pain and being uncomfortable and difficulty, sickness and grief? How has that happened? Are you ready to say, God, here's the keys. I'll get over in the passenger seat and you drive. You take control. If we do that, then we'll be walking by faith. Because in the end, this whole idea about control issue, to let go of control ourselves and give it to him.